Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
To see a complete list of the offered discounts for products and services, visit my website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. These offers include discounts from the PM Growth Summit, website production through Property Manager's website, discounts on showing services from Tenant Turner, and many more coming all the time. Be sure to use the discount code Brad, B-R-A-D. Check it out. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us today on the Property Management Mastermind Show. So what I want to talk to you about now is a little pre-show information about John Bradford. We're going to have him on the illustratepetscreening.com. And one of the things we talked about in the interview that we forgot to mention, and I wanted to throw it out here, is he catches 32% of the assistance animals have disappeared after they were asked for more information. So let's go through that. So essentially what he's saying is almost a third of the applicants, after they apply through petscreening.com, which is a pet screening source for your applications, almost a third of them disappear after they get asked a question. Meaning he's weeding out the illegitimates out there that are trying to get assistance animals pushed through the application process. So that's really neat. And he's got a very good discount code that he's gonna offer to where he can waive the first hour of integration into your software, which is an outsourced thing. It costs him some money to do that. And that's gonna be for all of our listeners. And you just use the promo code Brad, B-R-A-D, and you can send an email to info@petscreening.com. And so while you're listening, maybe you wanna pop it up. It's petscreening.com on the website. So check it out and let's have a listen to what Mr. Bradford has to say. And welcome to another episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show. My name is Brad Larson, the host. And today I have a very distinguished guest here named John Bradford. And I'm really excited to get him on the show to talk about petscreening.com. And John's been putting this out for a few months. I saw it in the Orlando conference and was really excited about it. And he's graciously allowed us to have him on the show today, talk more about pet screening. So John, how are you?
Hey, Brad, good morning. Hello to all your listeners as well.
I feel very distinguished having you on because I've seen you on Fox News.
Yeah.
I know you're in that space. You're pretty used to it. So I'm sure a podcast is super easy where it's a small audience versus a national audience.
That's okay. Hey, listen, I love doing these and I really appreciate your invitation to your show.
Great. Thanks so much for being here. So let's get into it right away. Talk to us a little bit about your background and how you got into forming this pet screener system.
Okay. Yeah. So petscreening.com is sort of a brainchild out of my experience, really, in two different sectors. One, I am a property manager. For the last 13 years, I started a property management company. We've grown to a relatively sizable firm based here in the Southeast United States. We're based out of the Charlotte region. I have about 30 employees. So property management on the single family side, I'm no stranger to, if you will. And then outside of that, I have a political career. And I think many of your listeners might know who I am and what I do, but I serve in the North Carolina House of Representatives. And in the state of North Carolina, I have developed a reputation as the go-to guy for not only real estate issues and property management issues, but even for issues as they surround assistance animals. And that's not only just ADA, but also fair housing. And while these are, of course, federal statutes, states still struggle with some of these issues. So I've taken my experience from my political side with my property management side, and I had this idea to bring the two together to really try to solve a real issue out there. And so I had this idea to create pet screening, and petscreening.com was born.
I love it. So let's talk more about the software, how it works with property managers, some of the integrations. Let's just really get into that. So tell me how it's working and usability functions.
So let me first tell you sort of the vision of when I had this idea. I wanted to do three things. One, I wanted pet screening to reduce the liability for property managers and their owners, right? We have a fiduciary responsibility to our owners. So I wanted it to serve both of those classes of individuals, and I wanted to reduce their liability. That was number one. Number two, I didn't want it to cost a single penny to the housing provider or to their owner. So I wanted it to be free, you know, which is hard to do. And then the third thing that I wanted to do is I wanted a product that would drive substantially new revenue streams around pets. Because I felt like pets, most firms have had the same policy for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years or more. And you know, not all pets are the same. And so my idea was this product could help to create new revenue streams just by having more information. And so that was really the vision that I had. And that's what made me embark down this path. It's going really well, Brad. I'll tell you, we have hundreds of customers who are using it. This is not exclusive to what you and I do in single family. This product works across the entire housing industry spectrum. So it's single family, it's multifamily, it's vacation housing, it's student housing, it's retirement housing. Any third-party housing provider, Brad, if they are providing a house, a roof to somebody else, chances are they're dealing with pets and they're dealing with assistance animals. And our product, what we do is we screen both of those classifications. For household pets, Brad, we actually, not only do we collect all the common sense information you would on a pet, pictures, shot records, verification of shot records, you know, the breed of the animal, the sex, you know, there's a lot of common sense stuff that we get. But we actually go deeper than that. We start getting information about the pet owner's care of the pet, because the pet owner is almost as guilty as the pet themselves. It's almost like children. Children, you know, if they're well-disciplined, they're probably going to be good at a restaurant. If they're not, they're going to be wild. Same thing with pets, right? Pets are a function of how their owners raise them. So we really dig into the data set around pet owners and their care of the pet, as well as the general statistics of the pet. And what we do is we basically, almost similar to a credit score, Brad, for people, we give a pet score for the pet. And we do that through a very complex algorithm that we created based on all the data that we have collected from the owner and their care of the pet, as well as all the data on the pet itself. And so we used veterinarian consultants, we've used a legal team, we've used legislative consultants, including myself, to really try to triangulate this algorithm. And it's working marvelously. And firms are using that score to be able to drive more pet revenue. So if a pet has a high score, then very naturally, they're going to probably charge the cheapest rate that they want to offer in pet deposits, pet rent, et cetera. But if it's a lower score, then they're going to probably charge more.
Right. I like that because I know there's a lot of data out there about which are the most dangerous pets, which have the most incidents. I mean, this is all public knowledge.
It is.
I'm sure you took some of that ranking and put that into the algorithm you mentioned to get those type of stats. So explain to me the ranking system. It's a 1 through 10, 1 through 5.
Great. So we wanted this to be, even though the algorithm is complex, we didn't want the scoring to be complex. So we use sort of the Google model. Google uses 1 to 5 stars. We use 1 to 5 paws, right? We're being clever with paws and animals. Mm-hmm. So a 5-paw pet score is a very, very good score. And we do not hand those out like candy. In fact, I will tell you about 11% of our overall pet applicants have only received 5 paws.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very difficult to achieve a 5-paw. My dog, for example, Brad, we use the tool for my dog. She's an Australian Shepherd. Anyone that has an Australian Shepherd, she's not a miniature either. She's a full-size Australian Shepherd.
Okay.
She's a hyper breed. She's a large dog. Now, she has all her shots. She has a microchip, but she still only scored at a 3-paw. Because a hyper dog, like my dog, if there's a thunderstorm, and I see your pooch right there.
I'm introducing our German Shorthaired Pointer to the show. Now, the listeners won't be able to see her, but I can imagine that you're going to see this type of a dog rank higher because she's a German Shorthaired Pointer, a pretty calm hunting dog, versus what everyone wants to know is how you're kind of ranking and screening the dangerous pets, because that has insurance implications.
It does.
And all that good stuff. So I know I kind of cut you off there a little bit because you wanted to show off, but you know, dive right into that again, please.
Yeah, so well, the guard dogs, we probably have the most comprehensive list of guard dog breeds out on the market. I have yet to find a client that's using us that brings me their guard dog list that's not on ours. Mm-hmm. And naturally, guard dogs, there is an associated risk with them. And under our model, guard dogs, not only will the tool give them the lowest score, but we point out that there's a breed issue. Now, I do want to say this, Brad. Just because it's a guard dog breed does not necessarily mean that a firm shouldn't rent to them. And let me give you an example. We have lots of clients that use our product that say, you know what? We're open to guard dog breeds, but what we don't want is we don't want a guard dog breed that's unvaccinated. We don't want a guard dog breed that has had a history of biting somebody. We want to know the whole story about the guard dog breed. And we get lots of very responsible pet owners that are submitting their applications. And it just so happens to be a breed of dog that is on the guard dog list, but they have a microchip. They have shot records up to date. It does not have a history of biting anybody per the owner. And while it still receive a low score, what we are doing is we are really changing the way property managers look at guard dog breeds. Because yes, it is a guard dog breed. We cannot change that. But if they have all the other data and it makes sense, the tool will point out all the risk factors. And if the only risk factor, Brad, is the fact that it's just a guard dog breed, perhaps a property management firm will rent to that pet, but they'll just charge the highest fee they have.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense because that leads right into the assistance animals discussion,
yes,
which you touched on briefly in the intro. Now, I did a whole podcast with a local San Antonio attorney who is specializing in real estate, and we talked exclusively about fair housing and assistance animals. So I learned quite a bit then, but I have a feeling you're going to have another perspective on it because you are what I would call the expert in this space. So I want to kind of open the floor for you to talk more about it.
Yeah. So everything we've talked about so far are household pets. This is like your dog that just your viewers won't see, but just, you know, or your listeners won't see, but this is your household pets. There's a whole nother category of animal owners out there, and they're not pets, right? They're called animals, assistance animals. And there's a very important differentiation between the word animal and pet. Animals are defined under HUD as an assistive device to one's quality of life. So you can maybe liken it to somebody's wheelchair for someone who's disabled. An animal brings comfort, it brings a task, it does something. So our tool helps validate the status of assistance animals. And assistance animals are service animals, they're emotional, therapy, comfort, you pick the buzzword, they're all considered assistance animals. And this tool collects all the information from the animal owner, and it does it for free, like it's $0. We are not allowed to charge them for assistance animals. The housing provider doesn't have to pay a penny either. But we take that information. We make sure we're asking them the HUD permissible questions about, do they have a disability? And we do not ask what the disability is because that's we don't care.
I got to stop you there because you and I had a previous conversation and that blew me away because that's one of the things that keeps me up at night is one of my staff members or even me would ask somebody the wrong type of question.
That's right.
That scares the heck out of me, to be honest with you, because what if I ask you, well, why do you have a disability? And they're recording it, and now they That's run right. to fair housing, and I get into all kinds of trouble.
You're exactly right. This is why so many customers are using our products, because we know what to ask. And the questions we're asking are HUD permissible questions, word for word.
That's a big deal. And I don't want to glaze that over because, again, that just makes me so nervous. So it goes into your system.
Yes.
And they're asked those questions in black
yes.
and white. Nobody's communicating that over the phone.
Nope.
Where they miss say something over the phone. Nobody's typing up an email where
That's
they
right.
might say something wrong on a one or two email. It's already there, black and white,
yep.
templated every time.
And there are yes or no questions. And the applicant answers yes or no to each question. Okay. But then there's more they have to do. We ask who their third party reviewer is. The reviewer is defined as the individual or the company that's issuing the documentation to support their claim, right? So we ask, who is that individual? When did you see them last? How did you see them? Was it telephone? Was it email? Because there's a lot of these online surveys now, or was it in person? And then we actually ask them to submit their documentation. And the tool accepts all kinds of forms. People can take a picture of it. They can upload a PDF. But the tool won't even let them move on unless they submit some sort of document. And then that information, that application, they have to attest and certify, Brad, that what they're submitting is true and accurate. Okay? They don't pay a single penny, but they submit it. And then it goes to our queue for our legal reviewers. And we have a review team, and they look at every single application on a case-by-case basis. This is not automated. There's no algorithm because under HUD policies, every application is different and they have to be looked at uniquely. And our reviewers will look at the first two HUD questions to see if they even answered them correctly. If they did not answer the HUD questions correctly, they will basically return the application and cite the HUD rules and even put in the link to the HUD documentation showing why they perhaps did not get recommended. Mm-hmm. But if they answer those questions correctly, Brad, then we look at the documentation and we're looking for the three-prong test, which it has to be reasonable, credible, and reliable. So it's how old is the document? Is it 3 years old, which would not be reasonable, or is it 3 months old? You know, we even reach out to the reviewer via email, telephone to validate that this clinic really did issue the letter. And
okay.
we'll make several attempts. And then when we're done, if it's legitimate based on our opinion, then we recommend it. and the housing provider doesn't have to do anything. We do all the heavy lifting.
A couple curveballs for you. I mean, really, I'm just thinking of stuff off the top of my head.
Please, please, go ahead.
What if somebody comes midstream, mid-lease agreement, and says, I have this new assistance animal that I want permission to bring into the property? My attorney has said that any reasonable request, whether it's verbal or in writing, so this is two curveballs. So one, they come to you mid-lease, and two, they just want to talk to somebody about getting permission. Is that something that you guys could handle or work with us on?
We handle it already. I can't tell you the number of firms that have come to us and said, hey, we found an unauthorized pet in the property, and now they're telling us it's a companion animal. And so what the provider does, and we'll pick on your company, you know, you would say, you know what, Mr. and Ms. Tenant, you say you have an animal here, an assistance animal. You go to petscreening.com. Here's the link to do that, because I do want to make sure we talk about every company gets their own unique pet screening link. It's how we keep your application separate than my company's applications or another company's applications, right? But you, Brad, will always give the same exact pet screening unique link to anyone that owns a pet or an assistance animal. It's the same link. And all you do is tell that applicant, well, you know what? Go to this link and you need to fill out an assistance animal application and we will wait on those results. So we then take the application, we do our normal process. And if we recommend it, then because they used your link, you will get notified that it was recommended. So yes, we handle that all the time.
That's really neat, because I think that's a big worry for everybody as the things that come up in midstream. The application side, so let's dig into that, because you know, unless you got a couple other things to talk about, I really want to go into the platform side of the application, because this is something you and I've had several conversations on, and I want to bring the audience into it, is you're able to work across all platforms that give you the opportunity to work with you, and even the ones that are closed, and I'm not going to name names, but the ones that are closed platforms, you even have excellent workarounds for that.
We do.
So feel free to go through all this and drop names and softwares. Everybody knows.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we're not trying to sell anybody. I think the first point I would make is we have yet to find a housing provider that has come to us and says they want to use our tool that we haven't been able to figure out a way to work together. So we always have a way to figure this out. There are some providers out there, not housing providers, but like screening companies, for example, that have been more open to trying to work together. So there's a handful, and I'm not, you know, again, I'm not promoting any of these, but I think it's important. AccuTrack, Rent Screener, Resident Research. We've been able to work with folks that are using AppFolio, PropertyWare. I mean, we've been able to work with them all, but there's a handful that are even asking us to let's go deeper. ShowMojo is one that just did an integration with us.
And Tenant Turner's coming up.
Yeah, Tenant Turner has committed that they want to do that in the new year because they already have customers. And they're doing pre-screening, and these customers have pets, and they want to be able to integrate with us. So from Tenant Turner to ShowMojo to Rent Screener, you know, we just haven't found one that we haven't been able to integrate with. So
even the ones on the closed platform side, you just kind of go on the tail end, correct?
Exactly. So, so I mean, AppFolio is usually a closed environment, but we have lots of AppFolio users. But what they're doing is they're taking that unique pet screening link that we issue them, and they're just adding that to the instructions of the application, which is customizable. But then they're also putting it on their website, and they're also having their property managers keep a close eye on anyone that says they have a pet to make sure they've actually used the tool. So there might be a little bit of work to do there, but not a whole lot, and it's still a lot less than what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. And it's fully documented in assistance animal and all this fair housing compliant.
I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I hear, John, this is too good to be true. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, it is a product where everybody wins, because the housing provider wins because I take this headache completely off your plate. We're doing more diligence on household pets, and you're going to get a score back. And it's important to know, Brad, that the scoring for household pets is only for the housing provider's eyes only. The pet owner doesn't even know they're being scored. So that scoring is for the housing provider to use however they want. So we're going to do that for free because our revenue is generated by the pet owner. We charge an application fee for every single pet that comes through the tool. And it's a very nominal fee. It's $20 for the first pet. And if they have an additional pet, it's $15. That's where we make our revenue. And in order to use our product, we need all your pet business, and we'll get your assistance animal business, because we don't make anything on assistance animals.
Yeah, so you can't charge at all, correct?
We can't. And so we have some people that say, well, John, I only want to use you for assistance animals. The reality is we can't just help you because we got to have all your pet business, because it's the only way we make revenue. But you know what? The pet owners, Brad, they get something in return, because these applications are portable. So I'm going to pick on you. I just saw your dog. And I know you're in the property management business, but let's say for a moment you weren't. If you were going to rent an apartment somewhere and they said, you know what, Brad, we need to see your pet profile, and they sent you to pet screening, Yes, you'll pay $20. You'll go through the tool. The housing provider will get your score about your dog. You won't even know your dog's score, but that's really irrelevant, because what you are going to get as that pet owner is you're going to get a responsible pet management dashboard that has your dog's pictures, shot records, microchip, all this at your fingertips. And if you, Brad, are a guy that likes to go camping, and the campground says, yeah, we're pet friendly, we'll take your pointer, but we want to see a copy of your rabies certificate, all you have to do is log into the tool as the pet owner, and you can forward your pet profile to that campground with a click of one button and their email address. So you can use this product for dog groomers, dog walkers, your veterinarian, campgrounds, vacation properties, if you're going to go to the beach for a weekend. So they're going to get something in return. So it's not like it's a waste of $20, because responsible pet owners, they're digging this product.
Yeah, I like that, because every time we have to board Daisy, if we go on a vacation, they always want to see a copy of the shot records, which is no problem, but I have to have a hard copy.
That's right.
For last vacation, I had to call the vet. The vet had to email it to me. I had to hand deliver it to the border. Yep. So it's just kind of like, it'd be great to be one step and go. Now, here's the devious side of me asking a question.
Sure.
At the end of the lease agreement, is there any place to leave feedback on what was in the home?
I'm glad you asked that question. So we have created the first national database of two things, what we call incident reporting: pet bites and property damage. If a pet that is in one of your properties, including assistance animal, by the way, because you can report information on them. If, let's say, 6 months into the lease, one of your pet owners, it gets reported that that pet bit a neighbor, and you research it and it's legitimate and it really happened, you can go find that pet's profile as the property manager, and you can log in an incident for the pet bite, describe what happened, and it's very similar to a background check on a human, but now that information will follow that pet and that pet owner for the history of the product. And let's take a property damage incident. Let's say at the end of a lease, they move out, and it was a cat, and your team walks in, and you smell cat urine everywhere. Well, we all know with cat urine, you just can't replace the carpet. You have to replace the carpet and the pad, right?
Right. So sometimes the flooring too.
And sometimes the flooring. Same thing. You can log into that cat profile, report a property damage incident, describe what happened, even put in how much it cost, and submit it. And now that pet profile, if it ever gets used for another housing provider, that data will be there as an indicator that, hey, there was an issue. So yes, you can use this tool to report bites, property damage, and we're actually going to be adding an unauthorized pet incident. Which means if you find an unauthorized pet, you can go ahead and tell them to use the system. But once they're in, you can log back in and say, oh, by the way, we had to force this person to use this system. Keep an eye on them. They have a history of unauthorized pets.
That's so common too. I think that's probably the most common thing, more than any sort of dangerous breed incident, is the unauthorized pets, because people just want to sneak in Fluffy because they don't want to pay the pet fees. They don't want to pay the pet rent. They don't want to pay the application fee. They don't think Fluffy, the 6-pound cat, is even worth mentioning.
You're right.
You know, all those reasons.
And here's a great example. You know, let's just do a January to December lease. Let's say on January 1st, an owner moves in with a 14-year-old black lab. Let's say come June, that black lab passes away, right? Today, under most property managers, they don't even know that the dog passed away. So what do the tenants go do next?
Probably get another pet.
They get a puppy. They go get a black lab puppy. And you know what? They don't tell the property manager, because in their minds, they're going, well, it was a dog. This is still a dog. It's only one dog. I have a deposit already paid. Therefore, we're going to just keep it and not even tell you. Here's the problem with housing, with what we do for a living, housing providers. The puppy presents a whole different set of risks than the 14-year-old dog.
Oh, yeah.
The puppy is going to chew on moldings around the door. They're going to pee everywhere. And yes, I love puppies. Don't get me wrong. But our tool, when they go through it the first time with the 14-year-old lab in this example, one of the questions they have to answer yes to is that they understand and agree that if something happens to their dog, whether it be it runs away, it passes away, they give it away for adoption, that they will notify the housing provider within 30 days, period. And they have to say yes or no. And then we have another question that they have to say yes or no to that says, in the event I get any other pet, I have to get advanced permission in writing from my manager, and they have to say yes or no. The reason this is important, Brad, is because we are codifying the record. So if you catch that puppy and you bring it to their attention and they go, well, I didn't know, you can say, oh, yes, you did. Here's your pet profile. You said yes. In my lease, we have an unauthorized pet charge, $500 as a fee. You're going to pay that. Now you have to go back through the tool and do this for your puppy.
Yeah.
So we're really, I hate to say it, but we're trying to make sure we're holding these folks accountable.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
I'm going to ask you a slanted question.
Yeah.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from the applicants and the tenants?
You know, I'll tell you, good, great, excellent. I had an assistance animal owner that literally just sent me an email, said, I have never heard of your product, but I absolutely love it. And I said, well, tell me why you love it. And she's like, I felt more comfortable dealing with you and your product than I did with just some property manager working at a random apartment community. She says, I feel like my information is safe. And I told her, well, it is safe because under our tool, your medical documentation that you submitted to us is stored on HIPAA compliant servers. And it just isn't laying around a property manager's office. That's another value benefit to the property manager.
Great point. So let's assume I'm an applicant for a minute and I got some PTSD going on.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm very ashamed about it. Let's say yes. I'm really ashamed about whatever my disability is.
Yes.
And now I know that because the system takes all the information and keeps it separate from the property manager, from the broker, from the ladies in the office who I walk in and hand the check to, they're never going to look at me as a weirdo.
That's exactly right. And I will tell you
that. Do anyway, but at least those folks won't.
No. And that's an important distinction because let me tell you something, Brad. Every housing provider can elect to give different users within their organization different access. A firm can choose to have one admin that actually can get to that medical record, for example. But then they can turn that feature off for all their other property managers. So we do make sure that that documentation can be seen by at least one person in the organization because it is your firm and it's your ability to see it. But what's important is it's just not a PDF sitting around that you've uploaded into PropertyWare or into AppFolio or Buildium, or it's in the file. It's actually protected in pet screening and you can see it at any time if you're the admin. But we're trying to save property managers from themselves, right? That's really what we're trying to do. Because let me tell you something, if an employee reads that PTSD example and then they go to a holiday party and see that person and they whisper that guy has PTSD and they find out it comes back to your firm, you're in hot water.
I love it because we start talking fair housing.
Well,
the epitome of fair housing is to treat everybody equally.
Absolutely.
And sometimes showing favoritism is actually being discriminatory.
No, right? You're right.
I've always had a bugaboo with the military discount. You know, you give a military discount to where people are dual military or just one person's in the military. You give them an application discount. Well, you're actually showing them favoritism, which I agree with. I'm prior military, but everybody else is not. You're discriminating against them.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you for your service, by the way. I will tell you that when I told you it's almost too good to be true. I mean, yes, we have not had a single applicant complain about paying $20 or $15. I do want to be clear about that. I'm not saying someone doesn't go, oh, God, here's another fee. But when they realize what they're getting, then they go, well, wow. I most pet owners, Brad, they love their pets like children. They go on vacation. They go to a pet groomer. A pet groomer won't even shave your dog until they know that dog has a vaccination. Well, if you had this tool, you could forward to your pet groomer, your pet profile with literally a click of a mouse and put in an email address and you're done. So pet owners get a lot of value here, but I want to share with your listeners, not only is this tool free, and I mean free to the pet, to the property or housing providers, there's no software because it's all done in the cloud. There's no contract. It works on mobile devices. Okay. But we actually do a revenue share back with property management firms or with housing providers. So for every $20, Brad, that we collect in application fees, we're going to give $3 back to the housing provider. For every $15 that we collect, which would be on the second pet, third pet, fourth pet, we provide $2 back to the housing provider. Now, I call that office fund money because your team works hard. You might even take that money and throw a party for all your if you're an apartment community, you might throw a pet party for all your pet owners and have like a company come in and wash everybody. They have these mobile stations. We're seeing people use that money in different ways. But every quarter, our company sends a rebate check back to every housing provider based on the revenue rebate that they receive. And it's money to be used for fun any way you want. And that doesn't even talk about the money that you're going to generate in new revenue by using the scoring to drive pet fees and pet rent based on the factors from the tool, because the factors are about risk. And if you know more about a pet and the pet owner, then why shouldn't you charge more? And the answer is you should, and you can, and you will, and the owners will pay it.
Yeah. And most pet owners are happy to pay that because they understand that. I mean, how many times have you heard of people spending thousands of dollars on a 15-year-old cat?
That's exactly right. You know, well, you're right. And you know what? Let's talk about 15-year-old cats. One of the questions is, let's say Fluffy the cat. We ask, is Fluffy the cat vaccinated? And they have to say yes or no. And if they say yes, then I ask for the shot records, meaning the start date of the shot, the end date of the shot, and then they have to upload the actual shot record. A lot of 15-year-old cat owners go, no, my cat is not vaccinated because it's 15 years old. It's an indoor cat, blah, blah, blah. I get it. And I understand as a cat owner with 15-year-old cat, maybe why you wouldn't vaccinate it. However, we're talking about risk for property managers. So when that score comes back on a 15-year-old unvaccinated cat, it's going to have a much lower score than a 15-year-old vaccinated cat. And that's important because if your maintenance man walked into that property and that 15-year-old cat was just sniffing a little catnip and got a little excited and went and grabbed its leg, scratched it, and bit it, as silly as that sounds, that's an unvaccinated pet bite. That means that cat has to go into quarantine for 10 days, or they have to put the cat down, send the brain off to a lab to test for rabies, and then which is the only way you can test for rabies, by the way, mm-hmm. and then the man or the woman that got bit has to then go get a whole bunch of shots at the hospital, and now you're going to get attorneys involved. It's going to be a mess. So the reality is, when we talk about risk, we're not discriminating. We're doing risk. And if that's a 15-year-old unvaccinated cat, they're going to get a low score, and you should charge more for it, period.
Speaking of that, let's talk about the scoring system. So you have a PAW system of 1 to 5.
Yes.
Have you seen anybody integrate any sort of different charges or different fee structures based on that 1 to 5 PAW score?
Yes, absolutely. We have.
And feel comfortable enough to talk about it?
Well, I do. And so, I mean, obviously, one thing we don't do is we don't approve or decline pets. We just give you a score because that data can be used as information to make your own policies. Every firm is approaching it differently. We're seeing a lot of firms create a variable-based pricing matrix based on the score. In other words, if it's a 5-paw pet, then they're going to charge the cheapest pet deposit they have, and they're going to charge the least amount of pet rent they have to offer. That's what we're seeing. If it's a 3-paw animal, they're going to charge a little bit more because, look, my dog's a 3-paw. She's not a bad dog, but there's more risk with her because she's big and she's hyper. I get that. So a housing provider might charge a little bit more of a premium for 3 paws. And then if you go all the way down to a 1 paw, two things. One, they might not even accept that pet, or they might look at all the factors. Because remember, when we score it, we don't just show you the paw scoring. We list all the factors right in front of your eyes that show you why the score is what it is. So if you see a lot of factors for a 1-paw score, then you might just say no. But if you only see 1 or 2 factors that you can live with, then you might accept them, but you're going to charge probably the highest that you offer, right?
Yeah, I can see that turning into a risk mitigation scale that's going to be tied right into the 1 to 5 PAW score system.
Absolutely. And the scoring is instantaneous. So if somebody got a lower score, keep in mind, the pet owner doesn't even know they're being scored. So what housing providers will say is, hey, Mr. Pet Owner, I noticed you didn't upload your shot records or your vet record. Right now, I'm going to charge you this. But if you go upload that information, I might be able to charge you less. That pet owner could then log into the system, upload their shot records, fill in the vet information because they were lazy to do it the first time, and the score will instantaneously recalculate. Now maybe they went from a 2-paw to a 3-paw. Well, now the housing provider can say, okay, you know what? Thank you for doing that. Instead of charging you $400, I can now charge you $375. You save yourself $25 for doing that. So you can see how the scoring, you can use it to build goodwill with your customers too.
How have you seen this being presented to the owners of the homes?
Well, yeah, we have firms that are using this tool for two things. They're close, and I promise you, we have people who could cite this and say, yes, we're doing it. They're closing more owners to do business with their firms because they're showing them how, if you use my company, I have this really neat tool that's going to help you with liability around pets. And it's converting more owners to think about accepting pets instead of just saying no. Because Brad, 58% of applicants have pets. If an owner says no to pets, you are fencing off 58% of your opportunities to rent it. And in our business, in every housing business, we don't get paid unless a property is occupied, right? So if you can remove that barrier by showing them a tool that's free, doesn't cost them anything. It helps them with liability. It helps them with assistance animals. And it might open their eyes to considering pets. Chances are you're going to get them to agree to pets and you're going to get it rented faster because you'll have more people looking at it. And then the cool part is once you get the pet profile, you can forward the pet profile to the owner for their records if you want. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Now, the score will not go to the owner because the score is only for housing providers. But the owner will get pictures, breed, shot records. They'll get everything else. So the property manager can share that data with anyone they want, including their owners.
Now, that's key because we can't share the credit reports. We can't share a lot of the application information, such as Social Security numbers. And even giving them a name, I get a little weird about because what if it's a, you know, a Middle Eastern name and owners that look at that in a weird way. We just kind of talk them through it over the phone. So we have a good application. They meet our criteria. They're both employed. I mean, that's kind of about as far as we go. Sure. It would be great to be able to share something like this full blown with the owners to say, this is the pet information that we have on the pet that was applied to your home. And they can see everything that basically we see.
And we mask all the only tenant personal information we ever collect is their name, email, and phone number. And when you share it with a third party, all that's masked, so they don't see that. But they will see the dog's name or the cat's name. They'll see the photo, shot records. And then for assistance animal profiles, you can forward that to an owner as well. But remember, they won't be able to see the medical documentation or the third-party documentation because it might be from a social worker because the tool recognizes that an owner is not an admin at your firm. So that information is held back. So, and that's for their protection too, by the way. So we really have thought this through. And imagine you sending a maintenance guy out to one of your properties for a 6-month inspection. Your property managers can forward the pet profile digital link to that inspector. And when they get on site, they can click the link. And while they're doing their inspection, they can validate, they can get the pet photos and see if that dog matches that dog.
Yeah, because
some real data at their fingertips.
Some places do animal inspections on an annual basis and they charge for it. And I think that's a great way to validate that charge is using this type of system.
That's right.
So, you know, to give you some deeper down and because the audience is, you know, that we get to put ourselves in front of, they always want to know what I'm using or what we're using in the industry. Now, we're using Rent Screener, and that's the property manager website tool. And I really like the Rent Screener platform. Now, I understand you're in discussions with them to even integrate that even better.
We are.
To make it kind of more of a seamless A to Z solution. Is that correct?
Yeah, so Rent Screener, we already have a simple integration with them, which is working great, but they wanted to see if we would be willing to do what I'd call super integration. And so we're willing to do that, and we've already said that we're going to. The smart guys are talking, if you will, the tech guys. And so I believe that probably by, I would say, middle of February, for all your Rent Screener users, they can already use the product. They just go into a section of the tool, click on pet screening, and then you can add your unique link. That's already done.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a greater integration, which means that the pet screening product will be working hand in hand with Rent Screener. And in fact, Rent Screener will be collecting all the fees and then they'll send us our fee versus Rent Screener's collecting theirs, us collecting ours. It's just trying to make it one less complicated step for the tenant or the applicant.
Yeah, that's one of the things I beat you up on pretty good.
I was going to say, you're the guy that kind of drove that discussion. We appreciate it.
Sorry to put the work on your plate, but that's one of the things I wanted.
No, the good news is we're getting a lot of neat looks from a lot of different folks that want to use it because their customers are wanting it.
Right? Yeah, and you have plans to integrate with almost all the platforms in some sort of super integration format.
Yeah.
Because I imagine it's a daunting task. You have a system and now you have 20 different platforms and all the property managers like me that say, well, I want you to do this for me because I'm special. And so it's a little bit difficult for you guys. And I think you're handling it pretty well. I would assume this product almost looks completely different in 6 months because it's going to have so many opportunities to integrate with all those screening platforms.
Yeah. We think we're really revolutionizing the pet diligence process for housing providers. Because again, I love all animals. I've got a friend that rescues pit bulls. Not all pit bulls are bad. And our tool is proving that. Because you might have a pit bull that, yes, it's a pit bull breed. And you check that box and it's going to be a low score. But it's going to have all the other factors that are going to be fine. It's going to be microchipped. And we believe that housing providers might be more open to taking guard dogs. They'll charge more, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as those factors are minimized. Now, if there's a guard dog breed with a lot of risk factors, well, then they're still going to say no. But at least you can make a decision on a case-by-case basis than just a global policy of all guard dog breeds are bad. but it's up to the provider. We're just providing that data, right? Mm-hmm. And the last thing I do want to share with is we talked a lot about new applicants applying for properties. There's a whole nother segment, and that's your renewals. The property management industry is guilty of putting a person in a property with a pet, and they might renew 3 times and stay there 4 years. Property managers rarely ever revisit the animal. They don't ever really ask anything about it. They'll do a recomp every year. They'll charge more rent. They might go do an inspection. And in their minds, they think they're doing what they need to do. We would challenge and say, well, in a year's time, a pet can change. They can die. They can get bigger. They could have bit somebody. So every year, this tool requires the pet owner to go back in and recodify all those questions. And during your renewal process, you ought to make that a part of your process because, you know, you have a right and an obligation to your owner to make sure that in the last year, that dog hasn't bitten an animal, hasn't bitten a person, it hasn't been quarantined, et cetera. And this process will help you do that. And that's a game changer for property managers because most of us just don't really think about that.
No, guilty as charged. I think that's something we want to integrate as well. Is there an additional charge?
It's $10 to renew.
Okay.
And then we share a rebate of $1 back with the property manager.
Okay, so it's a win for everybody in that regard.
It's a win for everybody.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about how the audience gets in touch with you and the discount code.
Yeah, that's great. So what I created for your listening audience is this. You know, because the integration, I mean, it's not very difficult, but we want to put our money where our mouth is, and we want to make it as easy as possible for any housing provider that's interested in the product, okay? If they will email, we have a very simple email address, info@petscreening.com, okay, petscreening.com. If they email us, and in this subject line, if they just put in the word Brad, right? That's you, put in the word Brad. And if they just email us and say, I'm interested in learning more, we will reach out to them, okay? And not only will we reach out to them, but once they tell us that they want to use the product, we will pay for the first, and you're only going to need an hour or less anyway, but we will pay for the consulting integration with an IT company to make sure that we get this thing optimized for your organization. And that call could be 15 minutes, it may be 45 minutes, but I will pay for the first hour. And Brad, we've never had anybody go over an hour. I mean, that's how easy it is.
Because you're paying a third party, correct?
Yeah, it's not me. Let me be clear. This is really a third party consulting technical company who will do this. So it's real money that we're spending. I don't mind spending the $300 because the reality is once it's integrated, we'll get that money back over time, but I want to make sure it's done right. Mm-hmm. And all they have to do is email us info@petscreening.com, put in the word Brad, and we will be all over it.
That's awesome. And then we're going to be able to add you have a reseller link that we can put onto our website, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I have a link just for you that you can put wherever you want. And if your listeners are interested, they click on that link and they register there. And then the same offer would apply. They would just need to make sure they mention it to us, you know, that they heard the show.
No sweat there. Yeah, this has been a fantastic episode. I really learned a lot. And I think let me give you an example. So last week we had a small symposium of property managers in my office from the San Antonio local area. And the buzz on the street right now among property management companies is this is the coolest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited to be able to get you on the show to talk about it because I think a lot of people want to know about it. Now your next appearance, are you going to be at the PM Grow Summit?
So yes, I'm speaking at the PM Grow Summit. Now I'm actually going to be talking about political stuff. They've asked me to talk about sort of the tax reform coming out of Washington, which I feel like I'm a good authority to talk about that as a small business owner too. But I will have our pet screening will be there. We'll have a booth. I'm also going to be, I know you're in Texas. I'm presenting at Texas Style, a class on managing risks with pets and assistance animals. And we'll have a booth there as well. We're easy to track down. We're on to something special here, Brad. It's amazing the attention we're getting. We love it. And I am just delighted that this is helping so many firms. I can't tell you how many times we hear people say, this is amazing. We love it. It's pets for dummies. And that makes me very happy.
Yeah, it's definitely, you got a need that is there and you guys are filling it. I'm very excited to see it. So excellent episode. I really appreciate your time here. Any last minute comments for the audience?
No, I would just say, hey, you know, thank you for, you know, property management is one of the hardest jobs that are out there. Appreciate your service to our communities for doing it. We're here to help you, Brad. Thank you for your leadership in the industry. And we'll see you guys sometime soon. And we're here to help you.
Thanks, John. We'll see you soon. Amen.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.